Good morning. My name is Helen Horton. I am at Life Church in Cuffley and are the children's worker there, and I'm here as part of the committee. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized in one spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we are all given the one spirit to drink. Now the body is not made of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all part of one body, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to the weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you speak to us. And Father God, we pray that you would challenge our hearts and minds this morning as we consider this passage and how it applies to our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I've got older, I have noticed that there are certain changes that happen to your body as we age. They're not all negative. There are some positive changes as well. In fact, I managed to find one positive change that happens to your body. I'm just going to show you a few of them. So the first one is this, positive change as we age. Apparently, this is scientifically proven, we get less colds. Now, it does make sense, because as we have a cold, we build up an immunity against that cold. So in theory, as we get older, we are more immune to different colds. Therefore, as we age, we actually have less colds. It's a positive for getting older. The second thing, that was the one positive. That's it. I'm done with the positive. The second thing is that our teeth become more sensitive. As we age, we get more sensitive teeth. For the dentist in here, you'll be nodding, yes. All that enamel gets worn off because of fizzy drinks and sweets. Talking particularly to the young people here right now, okay. We start to get more sensitive teeth. I also notice that the older we get, they get more and more sensitive, and then suddenly there's this massive drop, and then our teeth are suddenly not sensitive at all. That's when they fall out. The third thing that happens is that our hearing gets poorer, which I'm particularly disturbed about, because for the last 20 years of my marriage, my wife has told me that my hearing is very poor already. So if it's going to get worse, I mean, that's not a good thing. But that happens. The slight irony of this is that our ears continue to grow. So we get larger and larger ears, but poorer and poorer sense of hearing. The fourth thing is that certain parts of our body just suddenly stop functioning. Bits of our body that used to work really well and really efficiently just don't work quite as well as they used to. We imagine being able to do all these incredible superhero-type movements, and our body just doesn't do it anymore. I kind of realized this in about my mid-30s, maybe early 30s, that I wasn't invincible anymore. You know, we get to a stage where we suddenly realize, you know, actually, if I keep going at this pace, eventually I crumble into a heap and fall on the floor, and I can't go on anymore. And the sad reality is that deteriorates and becomes more and more difficult. This is quite depressing, isn't it? Esther and I used to say that between us, you know, if you take all the good limbs and good parts of the body, we make up one pretty decent human being. We don't say that anymore. So to those younger than me, I'm conscious that we have got a number of younger people in here this morning. That's the good news. There are some real special treats ahead of you as you age, as you get older. And Paul uses this illustration of the body, which now seems a little bit strange on that evidence, that he uses that illustration to draw a picture between the body and the Corinthian church. So this church that we've been hearing about over the last number of weeks at Hartford Baptist Church, this Corinthian church who wrote their letter of complaint or concerns to Paul, and Paul has responded. The first letter of Corinthians is a response to the church saying, here are the issues. These are some of the things that we're facing as a church, some of the struggles that we're having, and we don't know how to deal with them. And Paul is responding here about a clear issue that they had within the church and how the church works and how the church operates. You see, Corinth was a hugely diverse city. It was a city that was multicultural. It was a city that had lots of different gods and lots of different ideas. And there were these new ideas coming in about how to live life, and lots of different philosophies and concepts about ways forward and businesses and how they grow and all of this sort of thing that actually is very similar, I would say, to the UK today. And the Corinthian church was being influenced by all of this. And a lot of these ideas were coming into the church. And the church leaders were saying, well, this is a problem. We don't know how to do this. It's not working right. Why is it not working? And so Paul addresses this issue by paralleling the body with the Corinthian church. And it is a powerful and challenging picture. Because there's this humanization of the church that goes on, not just with Paul, but actually if you look at what Jesus talks about and how Jesus talks about those who are following him, he talks about it as more of an organism than an organization, a movement rather than just a fixed entity. So there's the body of Christ that we hear about here in this passage, but Jesus and Paul talk about the bride of Christ, this humanization of the church, the family of God. We've heard about that, and we've seen an illustration of that already this morning. That sense of being a family, being something which is living and breathing and moving, not something that is static or something that is just functional. The church is something way, way bigger and greater and more significant than that. One of my favourite pastors that I like to listen to and like to read his books is a man that you may well know. He's called Bill Hybels. And Bill Hybels is the founding pastor of one of the biggest mega churches in the world. Tens of thousands of people go to Willow Creek Community Church in America. And if you know anything about Bill Hybels, you know that he has this strap line that he says almost everywhere he goes. His strap line is, the local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. Not just the church as in the 2.6 billion people across the world that profess to be Christians, but the local church, the Hartford Baptist Church, is the hope of the world. The church is down the road, St. Andrew's, Holy Trinity, Hartford Community Church, All Saints, Hartford Methodist Church. That's the hope of the world. Because God chooses, in his brilliance, in his wisdom, God chooses to use the local church to share his mission, to grow his mission, to expand the work that he is doing. At Young Life, we try and be a picture of that. We're not trying to be the church, but we're trying to be a picture of that. And so we try and spread that message. We spread that word amongst young people. And we try and be a picture of Jesus in the community. That's what the church is here to do. The church is here to demonstrate in our community, in Hartford, hope for the world. A hope that cannot come from anywhere else. A hope that businesses and organisations do not provide. A hope that other religions and other gods do not give us. The church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. What a challenge. What a huge challenge for us. But let's just go back to the passage. In 1 Corinthians 12 it says that there's this whole idea that there's a problem with the church. Something's not going right. So what could go wrong? What problems could we have within the church? Well, I want to suggest that Paul picks on two key themes, which I'm just going to go over really quickly here. The first one is gift envy. Gift envy. So this is the whole idea of, Paul talks a lot in this passage about the gifts that we've been given, the different parts and roles that we have to play within the church. And gift envy is looking around and thinking, do you know what, that other person, I just wish I had that gift. I wish I had that role within the church. I wish I was able to do that in the church. And the problem with gift envy is that we miss what we do have. You see, the reality is that God has chosen to give every single one of us a gift, a role to play. God has given us all skills and abilities and the opportunity to use those gifts within the church. You'll have noticed, and Sarah mentioned it, when we had our table set and we had people sitting at the table, we had a whole mix of people. We had a whole range of different skills and gifts that were being used. At Young Life, that's what we try and do. We try and make sure there is a role for everyone and that we can all be used to glorify God. The church is here and has an opportunity to use those gifts. You have an opportunity to use those gifts. Don't miss what you do have. The second thing with gift envy is that it insults the Holy Spirit who gave you that gift. I mean, you imagine going to a party. You've got your gift for your friend that you've carefully thought through. You've carefully planned exactly what you were going to give them. And then you hand over that gift. And they say, oh, that's nice, but I really wanted that one. You know, that's the gift that I was really after. Not what you've just given me. It's an insult. The Holy Spirit's given you a gift to use for God's glory in the church. And also, it's the attitude with which we serve, not the gift, that really matters. It's the attitude with which we serve. That's what matters. That's the key thing. When we give our all because of what God has done for us and because the opportunity we have to use those gifts for his glory within the church or within whatever organisation we are involved in, that's what God's looking for. Complete service to him. The second thing that can go wrong with the church is gift pride. We can have gift pride. It's kind of almost the opposite of gift envy. It overlooks the meaning of the word gift. You see, we can have this whole idea that, oh, I've got this gift and I'm doing a great job in the church using the gifts that I've got and using these skills that I've got. But actually, it misses the point of a gift. You see, the gift that you've been given has not been given to you because you've done something amazing or done something wonderful. It's not been given to you because of how brilliant you are. We don't deserve the gifts God gives us. It's a free gift that God chooses to willingly give to us. And he gives us the responsibility to use that as best we possibly can. Don't overlook the meaning of the word gift. It also forgets that we've been given a part to play. So we can be so focused on that gift, but we actually forget that we're part of not just, I'm not just an arm doing my job on my own, but I'm actually connected to the rest of the body. I've actually got a part to play in the whole body of Christ. So how can we play our part? How can we play the part that we've been given, the role that we have within the body of Christ? So these are four kind of practical applications, or four things that I think we could put into practice when looking at the whole idea of church and the gifts that we've been given. I think it's really important that we continually remind ourselves that God has put us here and God does not make mistakes. God has put you in this church, Hartford Baptist Church, for a reason and for a purpose. He's given you the gifts that you have for a reason and a purpose, to use them for his glory. Don't forget that. God does not make mistakes. We also need to rejoice in our differences. This church has huge diversity. It has so much to offer in so many different ways. And sometimes those differences, we rub alongside one another, or we clash, or we have different opinions. That's actually something to rejoice in. It's something to rejoice in, the fact that we are different, but we're not all the same. I mean, what a boring place it would be if everyone was the same as me. It would be. It's great that we're all different, and we have different opinions, and we have different ideas, and we have different skills and abilities that we can use for God's glory. Let's rejoice in those differences. Let's celebrate those differences. Thirdly, let's avoid division as we love and care for one another. Let's avoid that sense of separation and walking away from one another. You know, one of the words that we used is family. You know, as a family, you work through things, even when you've got differences, even when you have problems, even when times are hard and tough. You work together. You work alongside each other. You avoid division. You love one another. You care for one another as family cares for each other. And lastly, I want to encourage each and every one of us to be attached. An amputated limb soon rots. You cannot be who you are meant to be in isolation. And with that attachment, it's using your gifts. Not just kind of sitting back thinking, oh, I've got this gift, there's this thing I know I can do, but I'm just going to kind of be a part of the church. I'm not going to actually do anything. Actually, to be attached is to be active. Every part of our body has a role, and it does that role, because if it doesn't function properly. Our body will not function well without that role. Get involved. Get involved in the church. There are lots of people here at Hartford Baptist Church on the leadership team who would love you to come up to them and say, do you know what? I've got this skill. I've got this gift. I've got this real passion for working in this area or for doing this. Please show me how I can do that. And obviously, from a Young Life perspective, I also want to encourage you. You know, we have people, all sorts of people who are involved in Young Life in different ways. If you love and care for people, then we have a role for you in Young Life. It's as easy, simple as that. If every one of you came up to me after the service, I mean, it would take a long time to get through. But if every one of you came up to me after the service and said, I'd love to be involved in Young Life, I can guarantee I could find somewhere where you would fit. I could find somewhere where you would have a role which would be fulfilled. Because that's part of being part of a body. It's part of being part of a family. There is a role for you. God has put you here for a purpose. God has given you a position to play and a role to play. After the service, just with that in mind, in the hall we've got a Young Life stand. I would encourage you to go up there. After obviously you've spoken to someone on the leadership team and worked out how you can use your gift within the church, you feel free to come and speak to one of us at Young Life. And we would love to have you on board with us with all the exciting things that are going on at Young Life. Find out where you can fit. Find out where your role would be within our organisation as we try and demonstrate God's love to young people in Hartford and beyond. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to get involved, to stay attached. Recognise that God's put you here. Rejoice in the differences that we have and avoid division. Recognising that the local church is the hope of the world. Let me pray. Father God, I want to thank you for the hope that you provide for us. Lord, thank you for our stories, for our testimony of how you've worked in our lives, the difference that you've made to us. I pray, Lord God, that we would continue to have stories of the changes that you're making in our lives, the difference that you're making to each one of us. Stories that so that we can store them up for ourselves, but so that we can share with others the good news that we have, the hope that we have. I thank you that you've given the responsibility to the local church to be the hope of the world. But Hartford Baptist Church can be the hope for Hartford. Lord, help us as a church to be that hope, to make that difference, to work effectively and well as a body together in one place. In your name, amen.